is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me, gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's Free for All Friday here on the Steve Gruber Show. The Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966. You can find out more at stevegruber.com. Join me on Facebook at The Steve Gruber Show. Follow me on Twitter at, you got it, at Steve Gruber Show. What do you think of the speech last night? What are your thoughts about that? You can also drop me an email there at stevegruber.com. If you're not somebody who's going to call the program, no big deal. We will take your letters as well and read them on the air. So Hillary Clinton has made history by being the first woman to top a major candidate. To be the first woman to be the major party candidate. She focused a lot on Donald Trump and her message. Did you notice, however, how silly it became? Donald Trump pointed out there was not a single American flag in the convention for the first couple of days. So last night they way overcorrected. And then, of course, there were signs being held up where Hillary had been changed to the word liar. I saw it a few times. I mean, I saw it right off the bat, and quickly the camera was going another way. But the message was there. And I'm telling you, when the camera went to Bernie Sanders, hey, Bernie, you know, appreciate your support. He's just there like a curmudgeon. Not happy, didn't smile, didn't wave, didn't care, doesn't care for her or the Clinton crime family or any of it. Of course, she went on to, you know, attack her opponent, Donald Trump. You know, we'll get to a little bit about how the whole fabricated nonsense about Russian hackers and Donald Trump and the DNC. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, here's a little clip from Madam Secretary last night at the DNC. Go.
So just ask yourself, do you really think Donald Trump has the temperament to be commander-in-chief? Donald Trump can't even handle the rough and tumble of a presidential campaign. He loses his cool at the slightest provocation. When he's gotten a tough question from a reporter, when he's challenged in a debate, when he sees a protester at a rally, imagine, if you dare, imagine him in the Oval Office facing a real crisis. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons.
Uh-huh. When challenged herself, Madam Secretary instead fabricates stories about Russian hackers and conspiracies and vast right-wing conspiracies and just makes stuff up. Filegate, Travelgate, Whitewater, the Rose Law Firm, the email scandal, the second email scandal, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, this family has been surrounded by scandal as long as I can remember. And there's just the, and what she's going to bring, and what she is going to bring is higher taxes, a Supreme Court that would do real damage, and so much more. It reminded me of another bit of sound from 1974. And I want you to hear this bit of sound from 1974 and compare and contrast those that have been caught. I mean, Hillary Clinton can't recall. That's how she deals with scandals or is defiant or doesn't show up to answer questions. There is no question that she has broken the law. Democrats know it as well as you do. But listen to this sound from Richard Nixon, 1974. Go.
I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
And just to compare and contrast, in response to WikiLeaks' 20,000 emails proving the DNC colluded against the Bernie Sanders campaign, that they sent racist emails, anti-Semitic emails, misogynist, sexist, offensive emails, and put their thumb on the scale. Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigns in disgrace. Before the ink is dry, she's working for the Hillary Clinton campaign. And the Obama administration working to file an electronic terrorism case against WikiLeaks in order to protect the DNC instead of praising them for making the American people aware of massive fraud within our own electoral process. Joe Biden actually called them high-tech terrorists. And if you didn't hear the story about the DNC whistleblower, you should look that up. You should look up the DNC, the guy that was supposed to go testify before Congress here a couple of weeks ago. How'd that work out? Not so well. And if you're under 50, you need to know these things. If you're under 50 and you don't know and you're listening now, listen to some of these things. When Bill Clinton was president, he allowed Hillary to assume authority over a health care reform. Even after threats of and intimidation, she couldn't even get a vote in the Democratic Congress at the time. The fiasco cost American taxpayers $14 million. Then Bill Clinton gave Hillary authority over selecting a female attorney general. Her first two candidates, Zoe Baird and Kimball Wood, both forced to withdraw their names from nomination. Then she chose Janet Reno, something Bill described as his worst mistake. Then Bill allowed Hillary to make recommendations for the head of the Civil Rights Commission. Lanny Gunier was her selection. Little probing led to the discovery of radical views. Her name was withdrawn. Apparently a slow learner, Bill allowed Hillary to make some more recommendations. She chose former law partners Webb Hubble for the Justice Department, Vince Foster for the White House staff, and William Kennedy for the Treasury Department. Her selections went well. Hubble went to prison. Foster committed suicide, allegedly, and Kennedy was forced to resign. Then there's Travelgate, Filegate, Whitewater, piles of corruption, the Paula Jones lawsuit, the Starr investigation, $80 million of taxpayer money spent. Then Hillary's plan resulted in Bill losing his law license. She herself couldn't even pass the law exam in D.C., if you didn't know that. She flunked the bar exam in Washington, D.C. The most brilliant woman in history can't even pass the bar exam in Washington, considered one of the easiest in the country. It is 14 after on a free-for-all Friday, 888-900-9966. I'll be right back.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Sometimes I'm right and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The preacher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Making history. Making history. You know, whether you care for her or not, she did make history. What I found interesting, though, and I'm going to keep mentioning this, I saw signs that had been converted to liar. The Hillary signs had been converted to liar, and I saw those, and man, the cameras got off them fast. I mean, nothing like the mainstream media doing the heavy lifting for you. And it happened a few times. There's a lot of photographs, but you have to go to social media to find him. I saw it live as it happened, but man, they got away from it fast. Our next guest, Leslie Rutledge, the Attorney General for the state of Arkansas, quite familiar with Clinton politics in Arkansas. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. And yes, those of us in Arkansas are all too familiar with the Clintons.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, because this is a test. Hillary Clinton spent how much time as the First Lady of Arkansas? Many, many years, right?
Oh, yes, over 10 years.
Any chance that Arkansas will support Hillary Clinton for president?
Slim to none, my friend, slim to none.
It's almost zero.
We have known the Clintons for 40 years, and we don't want them back in our house, and we certainly don't want them back in the White House.
So you watched it last night. I mean, how do you get to the point where Hillary Clinton, who was the unelected spouse of the president, was given responsibility after responsibility from health care to the travel office to the FBI liaison office in the White House, all abject failures. You know, it was brought in for questioning several times by Congress. Her pat answer is, I don't remember. I don't remember. How does this person, you know, climb to this point that she's running for president of the United States?
Well, it is a sad discourse, really, that the Democratic Party have chosen to nominate someone who has decades of deception, dishonesty. Those are second nature to Hillary Clinton. She will lie when the truth would serve her better, and we have seen that throughout her career, throughout her judgments and policies, and that they have nominated someone who has put Americans at risk, our security at risk, because she had her own interests ahead of that of the American people.
On the other side of that, though, are legitimate concerns about the candidacy of Donald Trump. I think there are many legitimate concerns about his candidacy. So how do you decide which one to choose if you're a voter? And you have to help a voter decide, Leslie, how do you get to where you need to be?
Sure. As a voter, you can decide, do we want 4 more years of the same failed policies, the same regulatory environment that is a stranglehold on small businesses, on American families, you know, with a candidate that perhaps, as he did, you know, send an ill-advised tweet where he was being sarcastic. Was it ill-advised? Yes. But the only reason that tweet made news, the only reason why he sent a tweet the other day, was because Hillary Clinton chose to have a server in her basement, putting national security at risk, ignoring the fact that classified information, hiding 30,000 emails that she claims were merely about yoga. Well, that's just ridiculous. Those, you know, that's not just a stretch, if you will, that it's just about yoga, but it's an outright lie. And I think that, you know, as an American, as a voter, as a woman, I can look and say, do I want someone who is corrupt, dishonest, and will put my security and my family at risk? Or do I want someone who will turn this country around, get these regulations off the backs of the hardworking men and women in America? And I'm going to go with the person who's going to keep us safe and keep us employed, and that person's Donald Trump.
So you have no qualms whatsoever. I mean, the Never Trump movement, there is not much left of it, but there are those out there that say they'll never vote for Donald Trump, which to me is obscene, because if Hillary Clinton's elected, she will.
Those people might as well, right.
They might as well vote for her, because the most important thing standing here is the United States Supreme Court with a vacancy.
Yes, and not only do we have the Supreme Court vacancy, that of the late and great Antonin Scalia, but also expecting other vacancies on the Supreme Court, so as many as 3 or 4 positions to be filled and nominated, rather, by the next president of the United States. Do we want that to be a liberal activist judge? My answer is no. And also, and in addition to the Supreme Court nominations, we have federal judges across the country that hear cases, rule on cases every single day. These individuals are appointed by the president. Do we want Hillary Clinton to appoint the next generation of federal judges on top of the 8 years of appointments that we've already have of Barack Obama? Again, my answer is no, that we do not need liberal activist judges on the bench, as we've seen from the Obama administration. We certainly don't need them on the Supreme Court.
It's going to be a tough run here between now and the end of the ride, Leslie. I greatly appreciate your time and stopping in, but folks from Arkansas, you know them best. You know them the best of anybody. There's no question about that.
That's right, and I would be surprised if it'll be 60-40 Trump Clinton. That those in Arkansas know the Clintons best. And again, as I said at the beginning, we don't want them back in our house. We certainly don't want them back in the White House.
And there you have it, folks. Leslie Rutledge, Attorney General of the State of Arkansas. Greatly appreciate your time, and we'll talk sometime down the road here, Leslie. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
Yes, of course. Here's another headline that's flashing across that I find to be incredible. Mitt Romney, according to this headline on the stream, very close now to endorsing Gary Johnson and the Libertarian ticket for president. Mitt Romney, who, if he had had some of the gusto that Donald Trump had this time around, would have been president now. But apparently he's very close to, at least he's given a great consideration, according to sources close to Mitt Romney. Surprising, isn't it? It's Free for All Friday. You're on The Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Closed circuit for Tom, who called in from Lansing. He said, if you want to take a different tack for a moment, and I do, Tom. He's on his way out to Flathead Lake in Montana, one of the most spectacular things you will ever see in your life. For those of you who don't know, I went to college in Bozeman. Grew up in Michigan, went to college in Bozeman, then was sucked back into the vortex a few years later. Tom, here's where you need to go. Flathead Lake, if you're going there, go to Kalispell. There's a restaurant in Kalispell called Hops Downtown. You'll weep. It is so good. Cool little spot. Microbrewery. Montana top five in microbreweries right along with Michigan. Go to Hamilton, Montana to the Montana Cafe. Ernest Hemingway, who spent much time in northern Michigan, also spent a fair amount of time in Hamilton, Montana. You can check that out. The Beaver Head River, great fly fishing for rainbow trout and a place to find their twin bridges. Perfect little community. Trust me, if you don't believe me, I'll put Ivy on the line here, and she'll tell you about trout fishing in Montana on the Gallatin, the Jefferson, the Madison, and the Beaverhead, which is often overlooked. So there's your trout fishing tip of the day for this Friday. Southwestern Montana, pretty much anywhere. But some places are just that much better. At any rate, the professor's on the line. Steve Doolin here, member of the Board of Directors of the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. Doolin, what's happening?
Another day above ground, Steve.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, do you fish or what?
Not as much as I should, being originally from the UP. My dad was very disappointed in me.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed right now.
I can hear it.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, you know, if you ever saw the movie A River Runs Through It, Brad Pitt said quite famously, "You can't trust a man who don't fish." For the record, you fish some. Barack Obama, he don't fish. All right, you know what I'm saying. You can't trust a guy who doesn't fish. I'm just saying it. Right. Did you watch the convention last night?
I couldn't bring myself to watch it as it was happening. I like a lot of people, I'm just watching bits and pieces on the internet and reading about it, as opposed to just sitting there like a zombie with my eyes glued to the tube.
Yeah, I watched last night. What I found surprising were the amount of signs that popped up at different times in the crowd that said liar on them, and quickly the networks would pan away from them. They had taken Hillary signs and converted them to say liar. very clever stuff for the Bernie supporters in the room. But, of course, they didn't get any attention. If it had been Donald Trump, you know, and they had done the same thing, that's all they'd be talking about today. The double standard is alive and well.
There is such a bias in the media. Several years back, I was on the Piers Morgan show at the same time as Christiane Amanpour. And I was sitting next to, as I call him, Deepak effing Chopra. And at one point, I remember on a break, Christiane Amanpour leaning over to Piers Morgan asking, "What did the president tell us to say about this?"
For real.
For real. That happened on a break on the set.
So let me ask you this. Okay, Doolin, you're a smart guy. a lawyer, but a smart guy nonetheless.
Thanks.
Well, I'm just giving you a break. But how is it that people can look at the life's work of Hillary Clinton, Filegate, Travelgate, the failed health care deal, the DNC fabricating a Russian hacker story because they have racist, sexist, misogynist emails? Nobody that's intellectually honest could stomach all of this. I mean, seriously, nobody that is intellectually honest, whether it's a reporter or a politician or even a lawyer, could stomach this. Why does it happen?
I think about this a lot, actually, because I have some friends who I consider to be intelligent people who manage to somehow twist their brains around and support her. And these are good people, people I would trust with my child. And I think about this. I ask myself the same question. Here's my answer. It's the culture of victimhood, and it's a technique called equivocation. Because what I get back from those friends whenever I mention any of these things that you just mentioned is, well, everybody does it, or the Republicans did it too, or what about when Reagan did X or Bush did Y? And that's how they do it.
I'm concerned about something you said there. We're on the line with Steve Doolin, professor at Cooley Law School and board of directors member at the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. You said you would trust your children with these people. That's all Marx wants you to do. Give your children to the socialists for 4 years and he'll change the world, which apparently is happening.
Well, that's a fair point. I wouldn't trust any of these folks with the education of my child, but, you know, maybe for an evening here or there or for a meal.
A free lunch? You see? You just walked right into it.
Well played,
sir. You're making it too easy. Yeah.
Well, we all have these friends and relatives that we've either, you know, been born into, or in my case, a lot of people that I met back in college, and it just makes me shake my head. And, you know, we agree to disagree, and we engage in civil discourse, but they're just flat out wrong.
That's right. I have some misgivings about Donald Trump and concerns about how he will conduct himself as president when it comes to things like executive orders is my biggest single concern about how he will conduct himself there. If he will take what Barack Obama has done and expand on that notion that the president has all of this power, which is really not enumerated in the Constitution, not the way it's being used now. That's my concern. But my concern with Hillary Clinton is she will continue to use public office to enrich herself, her husband, her daughter. I mean, how is it that Chelsea Clinton has a job that pays almost $1 million and lives in a $12 million luxury apartment in New York City? I mean, because she earned it? And people complain that Donald Trump got $1 million loan from his father? Really?
Yeah, you just reminded me of a line from one of my favorite movies, Raising Arizona, which is, well, what you got is favoritism, and over here it's who you know. And that's certainly what it's about. Yeah, absolutely. I have, by the way, Steve, very similar concerns about executive orders in general. The most recent one that kind of has me fired up, actually does have me fired up, is a change in the definition of manufacturer of firearms that includes a ton of gunsmiths. This just happened a week ago. There's a definitional change regarding the term manufacturer of firearms under an international treaty that would raise the licensing fees for a lot of gunsmiths, small-time gunsmiths, to $2,600 plus per year, which is a huge jump, and it's going to put a lot of small-time gunsmiths out of business. And it's this incremental chip away redefining of terms, especially with regard to gun rights, that really drives me crazy.
But why would that matter? You said it was an international term. Why should I be concerned about that?
Well, it's an international treaty that's in place. It's called ITAR, I-T-A-R, and the United States is a signatory to it, and it has to do with the trafficking and regulation of small arms worldwide. And
but we've never ratified that treaty. John Kerry signed it, but it's never been ratified. Why should I be worried about that?
Well, you should be worried because it's been in place now for years, and the ratchet only turns one direction. There's no sunset on that thing.
I know that. And all it takes is a liberal Senate to say, yes, we support it and vote it all in. I get it. Professor, yeah. I have to run. Great conversation. Go fishing, would you?
I will do, Steve. Take me with you to Montana.
It's a deal.
All
Steve
right.
Dulan, everybody. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Free for all Friday. SteveGruber.com, 888-900-9966, the Common Sense Hotline. Real quickly, Joe in Owosso, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking, free for all. Do you think the city, the people in the city of Baltimore could find a law firm to go after Marilyn Mosby to get the money back that she paid Freddie Gray's family, since all six of them have now been exonerated?
$6.4 million worth of reparations, I believe that would be appropriate. Let's be honest. She played along. She played into their hands. She played to a narrative that doesn't exist. Well, it was a homicide by definition from the mortician. Not what I'm saying. You know, the ME, the medical examiner. It's a homicide. Well, that doesn't make it a crime. Homicide doesn't mean it's a crime. It just means they were killed by somebody else potentially, but it does not make it a crime. She should go back to law school. Joe, thank you for stopping in. A little brain freeze there on a Friday. 888-900-9966. Glad to have you on board. These things happen. It's been a long week. It's been a long 2 weeks, actually. Our next guest, Rachel Alexander, senior editor at The Stream, which I read all the time now, a political columnist and founder and editor of Intellectual Conservative. And we're talking about the Green Movement a little bit more today. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
You know, you're going to find this shocking, Rachel, but I'm looking out the window here, and I see blue skies, green trees, and green grass, which is stunning to me. Nothing is on fire. There's not fire raining from the sky, and I don't understand that. Can you help me?
Well, and the sad thing is these environmentalists have been making these dire warnings about the planet, having the horrible global warming, which is going to, you know, have all these tornadoes and coastal flooding, and it never happened. And what's so frustrating to me is they've been doing it since the beginning of the 1900s. And every, 10 years, there's another round of them. And so I went over all these predictions that, Al Gore and others made in, the early 2000s, where they said the, planet was going to be destroyed in 10 to 15 years. And, here 10 to 15 years has gone by, and
200 million people would die from starvation each year. There would be mass famine and so on and so forth. You know what would be great? Global warming would be great for Michigan. I'll tell you why. This is my home state. Because if we had an extra 15 or 30 days in the growing season, we would produce more corn, more beans, more wheat, more everything. Same would be true in the prairie provinces of Canada, Manitoba, Alberta, Saskatchewan, northern Montana, north and south Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. We would produce more because the soil is fabulous in these places. Beautiful black soil created by the glaciers when the Ice Age ended, by the way, about 12,000 years ago, and there were no Republicans to blame then. I mean, it would be a good thing.
Well, and the thing is, in parts of the planet, it actually is getting colder. The Antarctic ice is expanding. So, they just lie, and they do it, because a lot of them are making big bucks off of it. Al Gore, when he made his silly prediction in 2006 about how we have 10 years left, he invests in all these green stocks. And so if he can force the green movement on the rest of us, he makes millions. And the worst part about it is...
Actually, Rachel, hold on, Rachel. Let me jump right in there. The only reason you don't believe in global warming is because you're a bigot. I'm just going to take the left-leaning line here. The actual truth about Al Gore, he didn't make a few million. Al Gore left office worth about $1.6 million when he was vice president. He's now worth north of $400 million. Wow. That global warming thing sure is profitable.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And he's such a hypocrite because after he predicted all this global warming would cause all the coastal areas to flood, he went out and bought a beachfront mansion. And not a single person has had to, you know, leave their home because of coastal flooding, you know, other than the regular, you know, floods that we have, and then the water goes back and recedes. There isn't any permanent, you know, increase in the water level. So not only have these environmentalists lied, but they have lied massively. This isn't, there isn't even, you know, just a little bit of increase in the waters. There's nothing. So anyways, yeah, these guys make these huge profits off of it. And what they've done is they've perpetuated this huge bureaucracy, you know, in the EPA and other areas of the federal government that award all these government grants to companies to have them, you know, produce all these green things. And so even though the vast majority of the American public now believes that man-made global warming is a myth, it doesn't matter because you have all these bureaucrats now who are still going to implement this crap.
And by the way, just for those of you keeping score at home, and there will be a test later, Alan Tipper Gore spent $8.9 million on a gated oceanfront villa in Montecito, California. Apparently, they're not too worried about global warming and sea rise because they bought an oceanfront villa near Michael Douglas, Christopher Lloyd, Fred Couples, and Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, they are about the worst of the worst. The only good news is Al Gore has sort of disappeared from politics. And I don't know why, but I really hope it's because he's finally so embarrassed that, you know, he was one of the worst scaremongers
and everything
he said didn't come true.
Democrats have no shame. None. I don't think he's embarrassed. I think he's at home counting his money. Anyhow, I'll give you 30 seconds for the last word here, Rachel.
I just think it's another horrible thing they've done is they've changed the word global warming to climate change, which is insane because climate change means anything and you can use it to justify anything. I mean, we've got the regular cycles of the Earth's ice ages. You know, there's times when Earth heats up a little bit, but it's natural, it's not man-made, and it's very devious of them to use the word climate change.
No, very much so. I greatly appreciate your time, Rachel. Thanks, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, too. Bye.
There you have it. 52 after the hour. It's Free for All Friday. 888-900-9966. Your thoughts can be shared right now on the Common Sense Hotline. After on a free-for-all Friday. Thanks for dialing it in, my friends. Glad to have you on board. Matt is on the free-for-all Friday Common Sense Hotline. Matt, welcome on board. What's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to say that we need to emphasize the lack or the loss of patriotism, not completely, but in the Democratic Party, they have lost a lot of their patriotism. I think that's the problems we're having today. They don't compromise for patriotic things. They're anti-police.
No, hold on. It's worse than that. They don't think America was ever great. They don't think America is exceptional. They think America is this racist place that, I mean, travel a little bit, you morons. Get out of the United States. Get away from your flat screen and your air conditioning and your perfect life and go actually look how the world works. And you will find out that America is a perfect place.
When I was down there, I got searched a lot walking down the street just as an individual. That doesn't happen here to me.
Well, look at yourself. You got a mirror?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that Mexico didn't treat me very fairly when I got walking down the street.
And let me ask you something, Matt. While you were getting frisked, as if you didn't enjoy it, while you were getting frisked, were the signs in English? Did they talk to you in English? Is that how it went?
No, they didn't. They didn't add in on anything that made me feel more comfortable. They did. The military was the good part. That was the only good part. They were fair. But it was the police I had a problem with that I lived in Mexico. The police.
Right, but were all the signs in English, or are they just in Spanish?
Just in Spanish.
What a bunch of racists.
Yeah.
Holy cow, double standard. Now, you go clean your act up, Matt. You know, you hoodlums like you, pal. All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Goodbye.
888-900-9966, 888-900-9966, the Free-for-All Friday Common Sense Hotline. You can also check in at stevegruber.com. Post your comments. I'll read those on the air, too, if you send me an email. If you're not a caller, I get it. Follow me on Facebook, The Steve Gruber Show, or check it out on Twitter, at Steve Gruber Show, the handle. All right? Now he's got to cheer up a little bit. Matt's got to cheer up a little bit. I don't think he's in good enough mood. Of course, he's getting frisked in Mexico. He's having some flashbacks. Tickly. All right, so Steve Gruber Show, Free-for-All Friday, back after this.